Well, this is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down today with Steve Raza, the director of Johnson County Library. Steve, hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, you have some things to tell us about. You've got some exciting new things happening at the library. One of them is Adult Story Hour.
That's right, and it's kind of a new version of a program we've done a couple of times before. We started it as Brown Bags and Books back in, I want to say 2018 possibly. And it was a session we had at lunchtime where people would come in, and it was, again, designed as like an adult story hour. Heather Kazara and Nancy Tam spearheaded that one, and it was pretty popular. It had a good turnout over the couple of years. Of course, that all led up to COVID, and that trashed it along with everything else. When we were looking to revamp that, we had fewer staff people, so it was a question of what sort of things could we pull off. And this is before we had started our volunteer program we've been doing lately, so we've got some more bodies in the building. So we rebranded it as Brownies and Books, which was an afternoon thing. Didn't really catch on as well, so like with most things we do in a library, you're always kind of retooling your program, seeing what works, what doesn't work, because it's mostly guesswork a lot of times. So Katrina Piper, who's fairly new with us, she has taken this on as her project, re-terming it as Short Takes. So it's going to be, again, it's an adult story hour thing. It's going to be at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays. There's going to be some snacks and drinks provided, the non-alcoholic type of drinks. I just want to be clear about that one. And it'll feature a lot of different short stories. So we have a lot of different collections of like mysteries and fun short stories. We'll have some historical things that Nancy Tab will talk about, since that's her specialty. We'll have stuff from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Katrina is actually going to start off with a book called Biblio Mysteries, edited by Otto Penciler. And we're just going to run this out, at least initially, from October 5th out through right before Christmas. See how that catches on, how it goes. It'll be at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays with the first one this week.
That sounds great. So who can come? Who's this for?
It's really for grown-ups. And we don't really advise bringing your kids because, it's grown-up books that are being read, so it's probably going to be kind of boring for them. But we do have story hour on Thursdays at 10 in the morning, so make that little plug there for the younger kids. But really, any adults are able to make it at that time, more than welcome to show up and just kind of hang out. And whoever the reader is, we've got pretty much about half our staff will be reading over the next couple of months.
So you show up. Do you? How long does the hour take? Is it truly an hour, a story hour?
It is going to run about an hour. Sometimes people get to talking a little bit, and so it may run a few minutes over, or it may run a few minutes under. But usually we try to keep it right at that hour length, so it'll be over right around noon.
And so somebody from your staff sits and reads?
That's right.
Who else?
Yep. That's
how soothing.
It is very soothing, actually. We had, with the previous books we've done over the past few years, had a lot of good discussions, especially around some of the themes that crop up in the books. Sometimes we talk about just, the writing styles and how it's different than other things those people may have read, the people who come to it. The goal is to kind of expose them to a bunch of different kinds of writing and really kind of honing on some of these shorter form stories, just so that you have a story that you can tell the entire thing during that one session. One of the things we've done before was reading from novels, and then people, if they were interested, could go pick it up and read the whole thing later. But then, of course, if we did it multiple times, somebody could miss a session and things like that. So this will hopefully help with that a little bit.
So it's a nice way to discover a new author.
Yeah. And a new genre of book if it's not usually a thing.
Absolutely. So how have you gone about picking those? How many are there in your
right now we have, let's see, we'll do, so we've got 10 to start with.
So you've got 10 short story hours. And how did you go about picking the subject matter for that?
Katrina kind of went around to each of us who might be interested and asked us to pick something out that we would like to read. So as an example, like I said, she's kicking off with Biblio Mysteries by Otto Penciler. It's going to be the first one. Katrina's going to read from that. I chose a book called An Elderly Lady Is Up to No Good by Helene Thurston. She's a Scandinavian writer who writes murder mystery type things, pretty typical murder mysteries. But these stories are, I've been telling people that this particular book is like a inverted Jessica Fletcher. She's an 80-something widow who lives in Sweden, lives in Stockholm, and she murders people.
She's sort of spooky stories,
and at the same time, it's funny because in the later stories, you'll read from the detective's point of view, trying to figure out who did it, and everything. The detectives think they've got her narrowed down. You know, she'll be faking that she has, you know, faking that she can't remember things, or be distraught and upset. And as soon as they leave, she's got her facade pulled away. It's really, really very funny.
That sounds wonderful, and so it's really librarian's choice.
It is. It's some of our favorites that we like to read. Nancy Tabb is going to touch on the life and adventures of Frank Garrard, which has been a popular topic of hers to speak on and research.
So, well, yeah. that sounds a really wonderful time. So it's on Wednesdays, beginning this Wednesday, the 5th of October at 11 a.m. at Johnson County Library on Adams Avenue, 171 North Adams, yep, in Buffalo.
Yep.
Well, thank you. And you have something else happening. Not only is it spoken word, but you've got some musical performances. Is that something new for the library?
It is very new, actually. The first time was last year. So I don't remember if it was Dr. Bergman or not, but Dr. Rachel Bergman, who heads up the music program, mm-hmm, at Sheridan College, either she or somebody related to her had contacted us about the possibility of doing a Christmas-type music performance here at the library. And we've never really done that before. I'm always a sucker for sure. Let's try that and see if it works. We had it about the second week of December, I think. Probably had 50 or 60 people who showed up for it. We did it right out in our front lobby, and where a Christmas tree was set up and things like that, and they did their flute choir did a rendition of Peter and the Wolf. Dr. Trively, the school president up there, was actually down to do the reading portions of that are narrated along with it. So when we hit this summer, I thought, you know, that worked out really well. Maybe we should try to get a few more things into them. So we talked back and forth of a couple different times and ensembles that might be available, and hit three different dates we're going to do: October, November, and December. And then there's going to be another one in April, I believe, tentatively. So we'll see how that goes when we hit spring. But for now, we've got these three coming up in the next 3 months. So Monday, October 7th, there's a viola concert, and then the flute choir will be here on November 14th, and then the chamber choir and dance duet will do a performance on December 5th, and those are all Mondays and all at 6 o'clock.
And is there a charge to come in?
Nope, these are all free, open to the public. Anybody, you know, really encouraged, especially families. There were some families last time around for the Christmas one. It was really nice to see, so, yeah.
So what are they playing?
You know, I don't know what their selections are. I think mm-hmm. they're still selecting those. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard. I'm hoping for some Christmas ones we get closer to the year.
We'll keep an eye out for more details. So, and who are the instrumentalists?
I don't have a list of that either. So Sheridan College, as far as I'm aware, has a mix of community members and students who play. I know of a couple of people personally who are involved in those kind of bands. I don't know whether these are a mix of those or not, and they sometimes change up, but we can certainly see if we can find that out. They did introduce themselves at the last performance for the folks who showed up.
Well, it's a rare treat to have classical live music here in Johnson County.
It is. It's very nice, and, you know, the sound carriage is great there in the front of the building. We may have one of them or two in the bigger twin meeting room, but we're going to try to do as many of them as we can right out of the lobby area.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So, again, October the 17th, November the 14th, and December the 5th at 6 p.m.
That's correct, all Mondays.
No charge.
No charge.
At Johnson County Library on North Adams Avenue in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. There's some wonderful additions to things that are happening in our little town. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So I've been joined by Katrina Piper, who is responsible for putting together these short takes, Adult Story Hour. Hello, Katrina. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So the first of your short stories begins this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how you put together your 10 selected stories that you're going to be featuring over the next 10 weeks. What was in your mind?
Well, the first thing, I wanted to know who wanted to read. I didn't want to exclude any of the staff because those are going to be the readers here that might have wanted to read to the public. Some people really enjoy it. Some people, not so much, and that's completely fine. So I asked them, you know, what they wanted to read. I wanted to kind of keep the genres fairly diverse. I wanted a bit of mystery and comedy. I wanted to introduce horror, too, because we don't really see a lot of that in this library, so I was really excited to introduce that to patrons. So once I got a list of who all wanted to read, I set up a schedule, said what day is best for you, what kind of books are you interested in it. We're going to be keeping them more short stories, you know, so you get a complete story whenever you come to short takes. You're not left wondering, you know, what's going on, which is exciting in itself, but then you have to wait, you know, and to check out the book from whoever got to it first. So I'm starting off this week with Biblio Mysteries, edited by Otto Penzler, and it's just a collection of short stories, mysteries in the books and bookstores world. We've got some well-known authors like C.J. Box, Thomas H. Cook, John Connolly, a lot of suspense authors, Anne Perry, and they're just a few pages. You know, it could be between 20 to 50 pages, just telling a different story. It could be murder, it could be theft, just to kind of get the ball rolling, kind of set a scene for, how the rest of the short takes is going to go. I think it's going to be really fun for the patrons and for the staff. And yes, there will be treats and drinks.
Treats and drinks, they'll always pull a crowd. So thank you. Would you like to maybe start off and read us a little teaser of the first story that you're going to be reading this week?
I would. I think that would be a lot of fun.
So, and this is from Biblio Mysteries by Otto Penzler. And which one are you going to read? How did you choose?
They were all really good. but I kind of wanted to keep a mix up of, you know, suspense or maybe kind of gut-clenching, you know, not quite paranormal or supernatural, but is my mind in the right place stories. That one's going to be really exciting, I think. But the excerpt that I would like to read from is Death Leaves a Bookmark by William Link. There's no summaries for these within the book. You kind of just go in and see where it takes you. This one is approximately, let's see, so about 20 to 30 pages long, so it's not that long of a book, but I would like to read a couple of pages to kind of give you an idea of what this particular story
is. And we would love to hear it.
Okay. We're going in the middle. We're not starting at the beginning. The next morning, Troy called his cousin and found out she was feeling okay. He said he would be over, take her out for lunch if she was up to it. He hung up the phone, and it rang again immediately. It was the cop, Columbo. "Could you meet me down at your uncle's store?" he asked. "When?" "As soon as possible." Troy hesitated. "I promised my cousin I would take her out to lunch. It's important that I do that." Columbo said, "I understand, sir, but I'm afraid this has to come first. Can you tell her you'll pick her up later?" Irritation curled his words. "I guess. I certainly hope I can help you." "You never know, sir. I'll be waiting for you at the store. I'm there now." "Okay. Best to play along with this bird." He called Marcella and told her he'd be delayed, helping the cop with his investigation. She understood. What a doll, he thought. A half hour later, he joined Columbo at the bookstore. There were other plainclothes people poking around, probably a forensic team. The bookcase was still on the floor. The book he had used on Rodney was now on the old man's desk. "Any clues?" he asked Columbo. He had half a dead cigar in one hand. "The book on the desk was used by the killer to bash your uncle's head in after the bookcase fell on him. Troy made himself wince. How awful. Yeah, not pretty. The killer pushed it over on him. That's the only explanation. Any prints on his back? A safe question. Nah, nothing so far. The murderer no doubt wiped them off. Troy took the time to supposedly mull this over. You already dusted the book? Yeah. We're waiting for that new electronic gadget for finding prints that hasn't come into our jurisdiction yet. No kidding. Gee, the whole world's going electronic these days. Columbo nodded, vaguely. What kind of book was it? A big, fat art book. But I think he just picked a book at random, didn't notice what it was. Troy knew that was true. It just had to be big and heavy. He took a look back at the art book lying on the desk, placed there by the forensic guy. It was René Marguerite's Catalogue Raison, Volume 1. Well, you know about these things, Lieutenant. You've probably investigated a lot of murders like this. Columbo frowned. A bookcase falling on a victim? Nah, never. This is a new one on me. Oh, by the way, Mr. Cunningham. What's that? He braced himself. You didn't tell me you were working here. It was a neutral statement, seemingly nothing behind it. I'm sorry. After you announced last night what had happened, we were both in shock. I don't think Marcella or I had a clear thought in our heads. How long have you been working here? About a year. My uncle was getting old and needed some help mailing packages, keeping the place clean, organizing things, dealing with clients, various stuff like that. Columbo was scratching the back of his head. That reminds me, where were you when this happened? I know you couldn't have been here, but just where were you? He knew he was well prepared for this question. I guess at the post office, mailing some books out to some of the collectors. Dayton, Ohio, Bangor, Maine, places like that.
Well, Katrina, it's a very intriguing tale. I hope I can make it on Wednesday to hear the rest of it. Thank you so much for taking time to visit with us and tell us about this wonderful new opportunity for adults in our town.
Yeah, thank you.